Psalms chapter number 18, Psalms chapter number 18 tonight. Psalms chapter number 18. Now, this is a great psalm, great chapter of the Bible. We're not going to be able to go through it all and teach it all and preach it all. It's 50 verses long. Most psalms are known for being really short or really long, but this is a fairly long passage, and there's so much great truth that's in it. It's got one of my new favorite verses in the Bible that's found in it that's kind of neat. It says in Psalms 18:35, "Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand holdeth me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great." And it talks about the gentleness of God and how it makes us exactly what he wants us to be. And whatever it is that God wants us to do, that is great. Whatever he calls you to do, whatever it is that, if the choice is, what does God want me to do, and you answer that call, guess what that is? That's great. And his gentleness is what's going to make us great. It's his listening to him. But that's not what we're going to talk about today. I guess as reading through that and listening and studying through that, that verse gets kind of spoke to my heart about the gentleness of God. We're actually going to look at Psalms 18. We're going to look at verses 30 through 32. And the title of tonight's message is, "His Way is Perfect." Now, it's really a great psalm. If you read the beginning, the introduction, it says, "The chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul, and he said." So that is kind of like the inscription, the beginning of it, to give you a set. This is after David's been delivered from all his enemies. David's been delivered from Saul. So you know that David has been through quite a bit. You know, when he was out there as a shepherd boy, what did he face? He faced the bear, he faced the lion, then he went through Goliath, and then he did all those different things, and all the problems of Saul's. And it seems like many of his other enemies also he had dealt with at that point in time. It was peace. And David says, "His way is perfect." And sometimes when things are going good, and when things are going exactly the way that we planned and we think should be going, we're saying, "Hey, God, your way is perfect." But when things are not going the way we planned or we thought, you know what, sometimes we say, "You know what, I don't know if God's way is really the best way." Yeah, we might not always say that out loud, but we begin to doubt it. But there is a really cool connection here. Let's look here in Psalms 18, verse number 30. David says, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried," and it's been tried. It's something that has been tested, something that's been purged, something that's pure. And not only has it been tried, he is a buckler, saying that God is a shield, his word is a shield to him, to all those that trust, those that confide in him, those that make their refuge in him and trust in him. "For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth," means to belt. "Girdeth me," means to bind with strength. He's one that gives us strength. And then there's this phrase, "and maketh my way perfect." I think that's interesting that in verse number 30, it says that his way is perfect. And in verse number 32, it says, "maketh my way perfect." I don't know about you, I think we'd all agree that God's way is perfect. We might not always agree with it. We might not always like it. You see the virus stuff that's coming up, and you're like, "I'm not super excited about what's going to happen in the future to make people wear masks." And some of the kids, college-age kids, are going back to college, and I know some of the different guidelines that some of them have. You know, they got to wear a mask in certain spots, and you got to do this, you got to do that. Not really looking forward to some of those restrictions or some of those what you may consider goofy things. And you're thinking, "Man, what is going on?" Remember, if you're exactly where God wants you to be, and you know you're doing what God's called you to do, God can take care of the rest. God can make everything else work out. His way is perfect. We are been created for this moment and this time, for such a time as this. We're living in 2020, facing things we've never seen before, and we're just believing and trusting that God can do all things and believing that his way is perfect. This chapter of the Bible speaks about some wonderful truths here. It says his way is perfect. That's an easy thing to say when everything's going well. But when nothing is going as you planned, is his way still perfect? Of course it is. We have a God who does nothing imperfectly. Everything he does is perfect. His way is perfect. And the Lord is working in our lives. He's trying to transform us and to make us what he wants us to do. And all we have to do is say, "I want to trust in the Lord." reality is, either you're going to get God's way or you're going to do it your own way. And the only way that your way is going to be perfect is when you do things God's way. So let's think about a couple of different things in this passage that shows you that God's way is perfect and why we know God's way is perfect. The first thing I want you to think about is God's way is perfect because God is able to deliver me. God is able to deliver me. So what do you mean, Pastor? Well, I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm going things down my own way, my own pathway. I'll come to a spot where I'm in trouble and I don't know how I'm going to get help. Now, obviously, God still hears and answers my prayers, but if God is sending you down a pathway, if God's way is perfect, and you've answered God's call, and you know you're doing what God's called you to do, guess what he's going to be able to do? He's going to be able to deliver you even when something bad's happening. Look what it says in verses 1 through 3. This is kind of the way that David begins this psalm. He says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength. In him will I trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. I mean, some wonderful, fantastic things going on there. David is here. He's talking about, one preacher put it this way, David runs to the rock, but he flees to the fortress. He's in need of a deliverer. He fights in God's strength. He fights as God is his buckler. I'm fighting in God's strength, but also God is the one that's protecting us. Over and over in the scriptures, we see that David is saying, God is the one that's taking care of me. He flees to God as a high tower. Then you go to verses 4 or 5. It talks about being in a pretty desperate spot. The sorrows of death come past me, and the floods of the ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell come past me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. So what the scripture is saying here, he says, look, even though death come past me, even though the floods of the ungodly come past me, even though the sorrows of hell come past me, the snares of death prevented me. Another preacher put it this way, like a criminal, I was facing death. Like a sailor, I was about to drown. Like a hunted animal, I am about to be overtaken by the hounds of hell. Like a bird, I am caught in a snare. Every way seems to be closed. It seems like he's saying in verses 4 and 5, everything was bad. Nothing was working around me. And then he says, you know what? I cried out to the Lord. You know, God is able to deliver us. And I began considering, meditating that. I began thinking about some of the cool times or some of the extreme times. It wasn't cool for the Bible characters, but some of the extreme times that God delivered people out of certain spots. You think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're facing a fiery furnace. And what did he say to Nebuchadnezzar? He says, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. What the scripture is saying there, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, you know what? I'm going to do what God's called me to do. Yes, there's a big furnace in front of me. Yes, there's probably thousands of people bowing. Yes, there's probably the most powerful man, maybe the most powerful king that ever, or emperor that ever ruled and reigned in this world. They're all there, but I know my God can deliver me. And even if my God does not choose not to deliver me now, you know what? I'm not going to serve your way. I'm still going to do his way because his way is the best way. His way is perfect. You can say whatever you want. You can do whatever you want to me. I know for sure that God can deliver me. And then you think about in the same book, you see about Daniel in the lion's den. God delivered him. You think about David with the bear and the lion. He even told Saul, he says, the Lord that delivered me out of the hand of the paw of the lion and out of the hand of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. Talking about Goliath, he says, look, God delivered me here and God delivered me there. I'm going to have faith. I'm going to do what's right because God's way is perfect and God's way is for me to go through that giant. And you know what? God's going to deliver me. And over in the scriptures, there's been times when God delivered people. You think about the nation of Israel from the Egyptians and how God, in a powerful way with the plagues, took them out of Egypt, even brought them to the Red Sea, and the Egyptians were coming and the Red Sea was there. He delivered them out of that mess and he caused the Red Sea to part. You think about how Peter was freed from jail, how the disciples were thrown the storms. You think about all the different stories in the book of Judges and also all the different stories in the book of Joshua. Man, amazing how God can deliver you. So the reason why God's way is perfect is because he's never going to put you in a spot or a situation that he can't handle. Why is that? Because God can handle all the situations. But more importantly, he's never going to lead you somewhere where he's not going to enable you to do what he wants you to do. His way is perfect because sometimes we get ourselves in a mess and we can't get ourselves out of trouble. And we can't depend on ourselves or our own resources to get ourselves out of trouble. But God's way is perfect because he's never going to take you to a spot where he cannot deliver you. He's never going to take you to a moment in time that he is not strong enough and that he's not able enough to take care of you. If God leads you somewhere, guess what? He's going to be able to take care of you. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get overwhelmed. And I think that I'm in such a bad situation that there's no way out. I will remember that God is able to deliver me, and it helps. I look at sometimes situations and circumstances with people that I had nothing to do with, and there's problems, there's issues. Some people are being unreasonable. You ever met somebody that's unreasonable? You ever met someone who just is not willing to listen to reason, not willing to make an effort to make, to resolve a relationship, to resolve a problem, resolve, you know, we deal with people, we deal with humans, and sometimes it's like, I can't do this. But you know who is able? God's able to deliver you from this. God is the one that is able to deliver you. And that's what I think David is so excited here. And it's when he's singing this song and he's praising the Lord. And there's some really cool imagery in verses 7 all the way down to, I think, verse number 17 or 18. Brother Barnhouse, years ago during a revival service, talked about how God can respond to our problems. And it is really neat. But that's not the message tonight. But it is the thought there, God can deliver you. Is there something you're going through today that you feel like God cannot help you with? You're wrong. God is able to deliver you. And that's what the psalm is saying. When he's saying his way is perfect in verse number 30, he's saying, you know what? God's way is perfect. And the number one reason why is because God is able to take care of you, or God is able to deliver you. Next thing I want you to think about is, not only is God able to deliver you, God delights in me. What do you mean God delights in me? Look what it says here, and we'll go ahead and read, start in verse number 19. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me. And that next phrase, because he delighted in me. He took extreme pleasure in David. I like that. I don't know about you, but sometimes I think we get the wrong view of God. I think God wants to bless us. I think God wants to use us. God wants to delight in us. God would like to be able to use his children to the full capacity that they can be. Listen to the reason why he delighted in David. He says, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, have he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes. From me, I was also upright before him. I kept myself from iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show mercy, and with the upright thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the froward thou wilt show thyself froward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but wilt bring down the high looks. For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. See, I like those verses, and it helps us understand the one that God delights in, the one that God can use. And you think about it, what does the scriptures tell us? God is a rewarder, but who is he a rewarder of? It says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. But for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. See, God wants a reward. God wants to delight. God wants to use you. God wants to bless you. It might be a different blessing than what you think, but God delights in his people. He delights in his children. God delights even in the book of Proverbs. And I've looked up some earlier in the book of Proverbs, the different things that he delighteth in. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father and the son in whom he delighteth. You say, well, God does nothing but correct me all the time. It's because he delights in you. He wants you to be able to do the best you can. Though they that are of a froward heart are an abomination to the Lord, but such as are the upright and their ways are his delight. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. Righteous lips are the delight of kings. And over in the scriptures, there are certain things that we can do that God will delight in. If you read those verses and you go back to verse number 20, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. He's saying, because I did what was right and because I did according to his plan and I lived my life the way I was supposed to, God saved me. What he's saying is, I went God's way. I did what God called me to do and God protected me. Even when David was there against Saul, there was many times Saul had him trapped, Saul had him ready, Saul was getting ready to kill him, but God delivered him. Why is that? Because he was on God's path. When God told David that he was going to be king someday, nothing was going to stop that from happening. That was God's plan for his life. God called him to do that. God anointed him to do that. It doesn't matter who Saul was. It doesn't matter who Goliath was. It didn't matter any of those things. David had a pathway to the kingdom because once God says something's going to happen, guess what? It's going to happen. And guess like when he told the disciples, hey, go over to the other side in the boat. They had the storm come. They were worried. Is it carest thou not that we perish? You know what? God said you're going to make it to the other side. You're going to make it to the other side. We had to live by faith because his way is perfect. So not only is his way perfect because he can deliver us, not only is his way perfect because he delights in us. Think about what it says in Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. What a great verse. And so many times people think, well, if God calls me to a mission field, he might send me to the deepest, darkest jungles of Africa or some type of dark continent. If that's what God wants for you, guess what? Praise the Lord. His way is perfect. You're not going to be happy or satisfied in the Lord until you're doing his will, until you're doing it and saying, okay, Lord, it's not my way. It's not about me. I want to live according to your way because your way is perfect. And that's what the scripture is saying, is that he that is as for God, his way is perfect. And you go to verse 32, it is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. Now, if you're going one way and God's going another way, guess what? You both can't be perfect, can it? If you turn around and do things your own way and according to your own plan, according to your own purpose, you know what? God's way is still going to be perfect, but your way is going to be wrong. It's when we say, okay, Lord, whatever it is you want me to do, God, if you want me to have this job, you want me to stay in this location, you want me to go to this church, we might not understand all the plans, we do not understand all the problems and issues, but we know God delights in those that are righteous. We know that God's thoughts are thoughts of peace. They're not thoughts of evil. They're not on evil. They're thoughts of peace. He's trying to bring you to an expected end. He's not a God up there saying, let's see the best way I can make this person miserable. Let's see what I can make this person happen to them so that way they can feel incredibly horrible. God's not doing that. You don't serve a God like that. And God's way for your life, it's perfect. Whatever he is that he's calling you to do is something that is right and is something that's best. So not only is God's way perfect because no matter what situation you're in, he can deliver you, and because he delights in you. I don't know about you, if you delight in someone, you're going to give them a pathway to success. Yes, sometimes it involves correction, but there's going to be a pathway. If you don't really truly enjoy somebody, you might give them a way that, I don't really care for them. God doesn't work that way. He delights in us. The third thing is not only does he deliver and delight, but he directs us. He clearly gives us instruction in his word what we should and should not do. Look what it says, and continue on in we'll start in verse number 33. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon high places. Talking about the doe and talking about the high places. There are signs of victory there and signs of praise and worship. Then he begins to say, he teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand have holden me, and thy gentleness have made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet do not slip. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them, neither do I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them, that they were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet, for thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. So what the scriptures are saying here is that David, as he followed the Lord and the Lord directing him, he had victory after victory after victory. Verse number 42, then did I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the dirt in the streets. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people, and thou hast made me the head of the heathen. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The stranger shall submit themselves unto me. And it's just begin talking and considering, hey, look what God did. Look what God did in his direction. And you think about David's life, God directed him. He was faithful with the bear. He was faithful with the lion, faithful with Goliath. And all throughout the time, did David sin? Of course, we know he sinned. Did David mess up and go to the Philistines sometime? He did. And he had to get corrected for that. He had a problem with that. But God's way was still the best way. And God's way was perfect. And the reason why God's way is perfect for us is because he gives us directions. You ever had somebody try to tell you how to go do something but did not give you directions? That's frustrating for me. I like directions. I like it when somebody actually says, here, can you help me do this? I said, okay, now how do you want it done? Because if you can give directions, you're going to be able to accomplish what they want you to do. Why don't you take your Bible to Proverbs chapter number 3? In Proverbs chapter number 3, you see the promises that he gives to us in directions. Many of you probably already know these verses. Some of these verses are this week's Kids Crusade verses, I think all the way on Friday night. So if you guys want to be looking at those and learning those. Proverbs chapter number 3, look what it says in verse number 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Now, so what the scripture is saying here is, look, if we learn how to trust in the Lord with all our heart, and we don't lean into our own understanding, remember, we're following God's way, not our way, and all thy ways, not just some of them. We're trusting God's path in all thy ways. Even if God says, hey, look, I don't want you to go here, I want you to go there. Even I want you to forgive, I want you to reach out to this person. Maybe it is, hey, I don't want you to get married. Maybe it is, I don't want you to have kids. Maybe it is, you know, whatever his path is for you, whatever his direction maybe is, I'm taking someone home early that you love, I want you to move to a different spot. Whatever his way is, in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. He's made you that promise. And remember, his way is perfect. But not only is his way perfect, you can go back to Psalms chapter number 18 now, not only is his way perfect, he says that he can make our way perfect. He maketh my way perfect. It's either God's way or my way. But in all reality, if we go to the Lord and say, God, I want my way to be your way. Sort of like what it says in Psalm chapter 73, that if we delight ourselves in the Lord, he'll give us the desires of our hearts. When we line up with God's desires for our life, he'll give us what we desire. Because they're not our desires, there's God's desires for us. So how did David respond? David felt all these things. David understood all these things. He knew God delivered. He knew that God delighted. And he knew that God directed him. So what did he do? And I think those are found in the first three verses of chapter 18. He uses this phrase three different times, I will. He says, I will, I will, I will. Now, that means he's determined. He has set himself up. He understands that God's way is the perfect way, that he's the one that makes our way the perfect way. And he says, because of all those things, there are some things I'm going to do. The first thing you see in here in verse number 1, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, and my strength. In whom will I trust? My buckler, my horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. See, God does not lead us by our emotions. God leads us by what we will to do. What are you saying, Pastor? There's many people who let their emotions lead them through life, and their emotions get them in trouble. Many mornings when I get up, you know what? I don't feel like getting up. It's a fight. Brother Brandenburg was talking about it being a pillow fight. He was talking about an illustration of pillow fight. You fight with your pillow. Should you get up or not get up? I don't always feel like getting up. Sometimes, even in the morning, I know you might be more spiritual than me. Sometimes I don't even feel like reading my Bible in the morning. As an emotion there. But you know what? If I made a promise to God, it's not about my emotions, it's about my will. I will do this. And that's what David's saying. because God's able to deliver, because God is able to delights in us, and because God directs, I will. And what's the first thing he says in verse number one? He says, I will love thee. And no matter what happens, he says, God, I will love thee. And this is where it begins. If we love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our mind, all our strength, all our soul, if we love him the way we should, you know what? Everything else is going to fall in place. I will love thee. And you know, even when things happen, and even when the bad things happen, Lord, I'm making a commitment. This is something I'm planning on doing. I will love thee. You exercise your will, then you'll get stronger. If you continue to exercise your will, sooner or later your emotions will actually catch up with you. Most people live their lives following their emotions instead of doing the will of the Lord. And because of that, they get themselves in a lot of trouble because they listen to their heart instead of listening to truth. The Lord is worthy of us exercising our will for him. And that's what he says, I will love thee. And then he goes down to verse number two, and he talks about how the Lord is his rock, his fortress, his deliverer, you know, his strength. But then he says, I will trust also. So not only is it, I will love, love is a decision of the will. It's connected to our faith. We believe in God. We believe that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So because I love him, I will love him. I will commit to him. I will do what he's called me to do. And the next thing is saying, I will trust in him. I believe in you so much that I'm going to trust in thee. I'm going to trust in you for my direction. I'm going to trust in you for my path. Because I love you, I will love thee and I will trust thee. Even though it might seem like the opposite's winning, even though it might seem like times are hard, even though it might seem like the lions are there for Daniel and the fiery furnace is there for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the Red Sea is there for the nation of Israel and the children of Israel, even though all those circumstances in there, I am determining I will love thee and I will trust thee because you are my deliverer, because you're not going to take me anywhere that you cannot deliver me, and you are not going to stop delighting in me because I'm going your way and you're going to direct me, whatever that is. And we think about the story of Joseph, how God worked in his life in such a special way. We think about the story of Joshua, starting as a servant and then as a captain and then as the leader. Over and over throughout the Bible, those that said, I'm going to love thee no matter what. I'm going to trust in thee no matter what. And then he also says, I will call upon the Lord. So you see here that there is a trust, there's a love, there's a trust, and then there is, I will call. The person you love is someone you will trust. If you truly love somebody, you're going to trust them. I trust my wife. I trust her with my life. I trust her with anything. She's one of the most, has very high character. Can't always trust her with money, but that's a... see, she gave me that look again. I got to stop. So she's someone who I love. I love the Lord. I trust in him. And I'm going to want to communicate with him. So David understood all these things. He had been through more things than we would even consider. Sometimes we go and we start whining, we start complaining about this or complaining about that. And you know, if this is God's will, get set in and say, okay, I know I'm on God's path. This, his way is perfect. And when I'm following his and letting him strengthen me and gird me with strength, like it says in verse number two, then my way becomes perfect too. I don't know about you, but I'm far from perfect. My dad used to call himself Mr. Perfect every once in a while, and he was joking around, and I used to joke around and say no one's perfect, but you know, I'm the closest thing there is to it. And then the Lord taught me some different things. I'm definitely not perfect, so it was a jest. But you know what the scripture's saying? My way can be perfect if I'm following His way. Then my way is perfect also. So there's some things we got to determine. Because he is a deliverer, he delights in us, and because he directs us, there he comes to the spot. I'm going to love him, I'm going to trust in him, and I'm going to call on him. I found this poem that was written by a preacher over 50 years ago. He had just buried his wife, and he was walking back and didn't understand what God was doing. And I thought the poem was nice and went along with the sermon. My father's way may twist and turn, my heart might throb and ache, but in my soul, I'm glad I know, he maketh no mistake. My cherished plans may go astray, my hopes may fade away, but still I'll trust my Lord to lead, for he doth know the way. Though night be dark and it may seem that the day will never break, I'll put my faith all in him. He maketh no mistake. There's so much now I cannot see. My eyesight's far too dim. But come what may, I'll simply trust and leave it all to him. For by and by, the mist will lift, and plain it will, he'll all make. Through all the way, though dark to me, he made not one mistake. Do we believe that? Do we believe his way is perfect? Then we're going to know that what we're going through today, and he's put us here in this time for this moment, even though sometimes the things might seem dark, and even sometimes we don't understand why he's allowing these things to happen, as long as we're doing what God's called us to do, his way is perfect. Why? Because he can deliver us. Can he deliver us from Corona? He sure can. Can he deliver us from the protests and the riots and the Marxists and the socialism? He sure can. Can he do that? He's able to. Does he delight in us? If we delight in him, he's going to give us the desires of our heart. If we, as he was saying, if we're righteous and we do those things, he's going to delight in blessing us. I guess see God delighting in the fact that he was able to, Saul thought he had him. The enemies of David thought they had him, but God over and over protected them because he delighted in them. If we're willing to follow the direction of God, you know what he's going to do? He's going to lead us and make our way perfect. Not just his way, our way, because our way is his way. So I think what we need to say is, God, I want my way to be your way. There's two choices on the shelf. There's a choice for God and choice for self. Am I going to get my way? Or am I going to say, God, I want you to have your way. Tonight, determine in your heart, I will love him, no matter what it looks like, no matter how bad it looks like it's going to be. I will trust in him because I know he is a deliverer that delights in me and directs me. And I will call upon him because he tells us to. Is how we show we have trust and faith in him. Remember, he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thankful for this scripture tonight. If you just consider the life David went through, most of us would have said, ain't no way that God's way is perfect. He should have done this and he should have done that. But you're hearing this from probably an older man at this moment in time that's been a man after God's own heart, that God's been faithful to him through all the years, and he could say, God's way is perfect. And then he could say, even as I follow after the Lord, he made my way perfect too. He delivered me, he delighted in me, and he directed me. So I will love him, I will trust him, and I will call on him. God, speak to our hearts. Lord, help me to trust in your way. Help me to be make my way perfect because I'm going the way you're directing me, or whatever it is. And I know the day and time we live in, there's so much craziness and so much foolishness in this world. It's hard to see a lot of good. But Lord, you're directing us. Help us to stay close to you. Help us to let you lead us. No matter what it is that you're calling us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.